All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Guy Mitchell. Guy Mitchell is a member of Phi Tau Sigma, the International Honor Society for Mechanical Engineers, and was elected to Distinguished Engineering Fellow by the College of Engineering, University of Alabama in 1995. His book, Global Warming, The Great Deception, explores what he believes to be the flawed claims of global warming caused by human activity. And again, the operative words, what he believes to be. Connor, there's something, a question you wanted to ask.
It wasn't really a question. It was more I just went to NASA's website and they say that 97% of all scientists agree that climate change is currently happening right now. And I do have a question. I mean, I was looking up some articles. I'm generally confused about what exactly quantum, or your point about water vapor, because water, like CO2, greenhouse, the entire effect that climate change is based on CO2, which is a chemical reaction, and water vapor is H2O, meaning it can't hold gases in the atmosphere. It's water. So, and I mean, there's unequivocal evidence that this is happening. So I just would want to know exactly what the intention is about writing such a book when 97% of all qualified governmental scientists disagree with you. What is the intention behind that?
Okay, good. I'm sorry I didn't get your name. Is it Connor?
Yeah, yes. Connor. Yeah.
Okay, Connor. Good questions. First of all, let me address the 97%. That statistic was a result of a citizen science project that a fellow named John Cook did back in, I think it's 2003. I reference it in my book. It's called Quantifying the Consensus in Climate Science. And they sent out 11,847 surveys to climate scientists who'd published about anything to do with the climate. And 66% of those who were surveyed didn't respond. 32% responded and said they thought man had caused climate change, and 1% responded and said they didn't know. So they divided 32 by 33, and they came up with 97%. As I point out in my book, when you go to the world's academic societies and scientific organizations, you find out there's far from a consensus. The Chinese don't believe it. The Russians believe we could have global cooling.
Yeah, I mean, of course the Chinese don't believe it because it's in their political interest to not believe it, considering how, like, them and India are the biggest exporters of CO2 in the entire world.
I mean, sure. So it's I'll hasten to add, though, that both Oxford University, Cambridge University, the Royal Society, this was back in 2017 when I began this research, all had questions about it. Now, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but having questions
there
about
are
it is not the same.
Let him respond, yeah, Connor. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, there are two what are called IR, infrared reactive gases. Well, they're more than two. They're five. But there are two main ones in the atmosphere. One of them is CO2, which has a concentration of 0.04%. And there's water vapor, which has a concentration of 2.5%. Even the proponents of global warming will admit that water vapor is responsible for about somewhere between 65 to 90% of the greenhouse gas effect, because it absorbs a broader spectrum of long-wave infrared radiation. So CO2 plays a de minimis role. It's all about the water vapor. And even the proponents of global warming will tell you that. Now, they really exercise themselves to develop this concept that there are feedback loops where CO2 warms the troposphere, and then there's more water vapor. But the bottom line is, if you look at the physics for gases that absorb infrared, long-wave infrared radiation from the Earth's surface, that CO2 plays a de minimis role. It's all about the water vapor, and water vapors are naturally formed. You know, it's a naturally formed greenhouse gas, and so is CO2, by the way, although there's an anthropogenic, a man-made component with respect to, CO2 emissions from the combustion of fossil fuels. So, but I want to disabuse you of the idea that 97% of the world scientists do not believe man's caused global warming. That was a very flawed study.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was checking the references for it, and it references a number of separate studies of separate organizations, and it's, you know, it's an average based on consensus. But that's beside the point. You know, when it comes to water vapor, I mean, that's the entire point of global warming, is that these human-made institutions, right, increase the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, right, which then causes that cycle, right, that you referenced earlier, to continuously happen, raising
the
temperature.
If that were the case.
So even if water vapor is natural, it's because of, and I mean, this is just proven on NASA's website. It says they have a graph. what's humorous? I mean, I guess you can say that I can cross check all sources, but then again, it's like, what's more logical? The fact that throughout the entirety of human history, right, CO2 has been at a certain specific level, parts per million. It looks like it's been beneath 300 parts per million. And then all of a sudden, right as industrialization happens, right, it skyrockets up because of the cycle. That's blatant evidence that it's human created. I mean, I can agree that there is debate and there is difference in opinion, but you said on air that there is no effect, which is just blatantly untrue. That's just not true whatsoever. I mean, even scientists agree with us being the cause of it, and they say, well, you know, human it's went to this level, right, CO2 at different parts in history before, like during ice ages or during certain cataclysmic events. But You can say that, but that also doesn't even address the point of industrialization caused this.
So, Connor, let's let him respond. Go ahead, Guy.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Connor. You know, your point is that since 1870, let's say, the concentration
not 1970,
of CO2
I'm talking in that, about like 1900s, like since the beginning of industrialization.
Well, no, I said 1870. Let's say the Industrial Revolution began around 1870. You pick the date. It doesn't make any difference. But usually the reference datum is 280 parts per million, which is about what it supposedly was.
So let's do this, Guy. I hate to do it, but we've got to go to a break. And can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right. So we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Erlingham Show.
Yeah,
you will certainly get a chance to as soon as we come back.